Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for singing so well. This morning, as we're turning to Philippians 2 and verse 9, which is our text, Philippians 2 and verse 9, a scripture which I've at times preached upon. Marvelous little scripture. As we're turning there, I'd like to give a big greeting to our folks in Acworth who are joining us. And also to those listening on Sermon Audio and on YouTube, you're very, very welcome. And I want this morning to speak about the beautiful name of Jesus. What can we say about the beautiful name of Jesus? We take weeks to expound upon that. Did I kid myself? Months. No, you fool. Years. To expound upon the name of Jesus. No! An eternity to expound upon the name of Jesus. Philippians 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name. He's been given a name which is above every name. Oh, it's a beautiful name. We could actually call this a name above every name. I really don't know what to call this. A beautiful name, a wonderful name, the wonderful name of Jesus. But I'm going to call it the beautiful name of Jesus. You know, names are very, very important. And that's why some people choose to change their names. Have you ever thought about changing your name? You know, I wish I wasn't called this. I read once about a man called William Stinks. Hiya, William Stinks. He decided he would change his name. And the judge said, with a name like William Stinks, he says, I don't blame you for wanting to change your name. And what new name do you want? And the man said, I want to change my name to John Stinks. Yes. You know, have you ever seen in the American movies, you get a fella comes riding his bicycle up at 6 in the morning, 6:30, and a wee fella, and he has the paper. He's the paper boy, and he throws the paper into the front yard, front garden, as we would call it here. Well, one morning, there was a wee fella riding his bike, delivering papers to the neighborhood. And this man was out working in his front lawn, and he'd never met the fella before, the paper boy before. So he says, hey, what's your name? The young fella said, my name is George Washington. George Washington. Well, the man said, that's a pretty famous name, young man. The kid says, well, it ought to be. I've been delivering papers here for 2 years. What is in a name? What is in a name? Names are important. They really are. And this morning I want us to consider the name of Jesus, the beautiful name of Jesus, the wonderful name of Jesus, and tell you certain things. This is not going to be a hard message for you to remember. I want to tell you, first of all, that the name of Jesus is a simple name. Then the next thing I want to draw our attention to is that the name of Jesus is a strong name. And then it's a saving name. And then it's a supreme name. And then it's an asking name. The name in which we approach God. We just sang it, didn't we? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in the believer's ear. It heals his sorrows. What's that? Calms his fears. No, calms, heals, and calm drives away his fears. Gosh, I lost the words for a moment there. So let's go on and look at the name of Jesus. It's a simple name, isn't it? Jesus. How could you forget that name? Jesus. Parents are very careful at choosing names for their children, aren't they? But Mary and Joseph, did you know this? They didn't choose the name of Jesus. No, no, no. God chose the name of Jesus. God chose to call his son that beautiful, simple name. And the angel Gabriel was sent to Joseph with this message about Mary. He said, in Matthew 1:21, he said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Notice that. He's not going to try to save, call him Jesus. He's not going to attempt to save the people. He shall save his people from their sins. This is a very simple name.
Jesus. It was a common name in Bible times, that only in Bible times they would have not pronounced it Jesus. They would have pronounced it with two syllables. Yeshua. Simple name. Yeshua. And literally that name means Yahweh saves. Jehovah saves. So Jesus is called Jehovah saves. Yahweh saves. Now, in the Old Testament, the equivalent of that name was Joshua, and again, a very common name, and easy to pronounce. You know, some names in the Bible are very hard to pronounce. Have you ever noticed that? That's why I oftentimes don't like reading the genealogies. You get big names. Now, I've told you before, there was a man up in the north of Ireland, and he just, every time he came upon a big name, and he said, and such said to such and such, hallelujah said to hallelujah. He just couldn't pronounce the name, so he just called them hallelujah. I understand that. There's times I get tongue-tied in those names. You know, I mean, it's a simple name, Jesus. You don't get tongue-tied on that. It's a simple name to sing about. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something wonderful about your name, or about his name. Easy, isn't it? Jesus, Jesus. I'm glad, I'm so glad that God didn't choose to name his son one of those hard names in the Bible. Aren't you? I mean, God could have named his son the name that Isaiah gave to his son. Isaiah named his son. Oh, yes. Check it out in Isaiah 8 and verse 3. Isaiah 8 and verse 3. He went into the prophetess and she conceived and bore a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Mahershala Kashbaz. You like that? Imagine running around the countryside being Mahershala Kashbaz. Come in for your tea. Your tea's ready, Mahershala Kashbaz. Can you imagine trying to sing Mahershala Kashbaz, Mahershala Kashbaz, Mahershala Kashbaz? There's something wonderful about that name. Oh, would you go and wise up? Nothing wonderful about that name. Oh, it's too complicated. But Jesus is a simple name, isn't it? It's simple. You'll not forget that name. Simple. Hey, would you say it with me? Jesus. Say it with me. Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful name? Jesus. You know, it sounds beautiful coming from the lips of children who are singing about it, and it sounds equally lovely coming from the lips of an older person who's getting ready to face death, but they know that their Redeemer lives. Jesus. Jesus. There's something beautiful and wonderful about that name. But not only is the name of Jesus a simple name, the name of Jesus is a strong name, and the devil hates the name of Jesus, and he fears the name of Jesus. And you may think it strange, but I would that I would even draw your attention to this, but this remarkable name of Jesus, and you've heard me say this before, but it often comes from the lips of those who do not love him or care for him, from the lips of those who are not zealous for his honor and his glory. And most of us have heard people say, ah, Jesus Christ. No, it's not words of praise when you hear it said like that. And the curse, and they swear, and they put the name of Jesus in the same category as a curse word. They put it in company and companionship with lewd and vile four-letter words. And when they do this, they are violating the third commandment. Ah, but sure, they don't know any better. I understand they don't know any better, but do they understand it's a violation of the third commandment? It's taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I read once about two guys playing golf, and one was a believer and the other wasn't, and the unbeliever missed a, Robert, you would like this, a 3-foot putt, and he missed it.
And he said, he just threw his putter down and he said, Jesus Christ. Well, he's with the believer. The believer, he got a moment of inspiration and said, where? Where is he? Where? I know he's coming back, but where is he? What? You just said, Jesus Christ, where? Where did you see him? He's my God. He's coming back. That got the non-believer's attention. I believe one of the reasons that people curse and swear with the name of Jesus is that Satan hates the name of Jesus.
Why would he hate it? Well, because of Colossians 2 and verse 15, we've got to understand what Jesus did to Satan at the cross. He totally, completely defeated him and he shamed him. And now the devil's only recourse is to try to bring as much shame to the name of Jesus. And here it says in Colossians 2, 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he, that's Christ, this is Christ at the cross, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, and the it is the cross. He triumphed over the works of darkness in the cross and by the cross. And he righted the devil. The devil is a defeated foe. Yes, he keeps coming back, but there's a mop-up operation. He's going to be completely consumed when Jesus comes back, based upon the victory that Jesus won at the cross. It says there that he spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them. And the word made an open show of them openly, it means that Jesus shamed and disgraced the devil so that all the universe could see it. And the angels saw the disgrace of Satan, and the demons saw the disgrace of Satan. And if we pause to look into those scriptures and think about them, we can see the destruction of Satan. And so, when you hear a person uttering the name of Jesus as a curse word, it serves to remind us that Satan is such a defeated, shamed foe, he is actively trying to get revenge on Jesus and shame his lovely name. Pretty powerless effort. So many people have bought into it, saying, Jesus, Jesus, listen for it, listen for it. You'll not go through this week without hearing people use that lovely name as a curse word. The name of Jesus is a strong name, it's a simple name, but not only that, it's a saving name. And let's look at a couple of scriptures there about being saved. Look at Romans 10 and verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. Now, I'm going to deliberately misquote this. Okay, now watch and see if you can catch my mistake, all right? Very simple mistake to make. A lot of people make this mistake when quoting this scripture. And so, watch carefully. For everyone who calls upon the Lord shall be saved. Do you see that? You see my mistake? What was my mistake? Anybody help me?
You said everyone.
For whosoever, I'm sorry. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. You get it? That time I was wrong the first time. It's whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Ah, thank you. It's call upon his name. That's what the word of God says. Whosoever shall call upon his name, the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And that's a key part to this verse. And so the Lord has a name. What's his name? Jesus. That's his name. I've heard many people talk about God in impersonal terms, and obviously they don't know him. I know they don't know him because they don't know his name. Oh, I know this guy. Oh, yeah. Imagine I say, me and that fellow with the beard. Oh, yeah. You know the strong guy. Oh, yeah. We're big friends. We're big. Oh, you know, what's his name? Oh, you know, the strongest man in Ireland kind of gig. You know, what's his name? Oh, he's got the ponytail. Well, what's his name? Well, if I don't know your name, I don't know you too well. Do I, Fred? I just couldn't help that. No! And so, I mean, people say, yeah, me and the man upstairs are really tight. Ew, bucket, get me a bucket. Just try calling upon the man upstairs. People talk, oh yes, the good Lord. The good Lord. I believe in the good Lord. Look, I know God is good. Of course he's good. But he's not the good Lord. He has a name. He's not the man upstairs. He has a name. His name is Jesus. 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 You may be scratching your head at this time and saying, do you mean we have to call upon the name of Jesus? And the name of Jesus is more than just saying that word, Jesus. The name of Jesus, his character is bound up in his name, his authority is bound up in his name, but that's a whole other teaching. But do I have to call upon Jesus? Could I not just call upon the man upstairs? Hey, man upstairs, save me. Oh, good Lord! You're the good Lord! Save me. Well, I'm not going to answer that question. Do you know why? I don't have to answer that question. Do you know why? Because the Bible has already answered that question. Acts 4 and verse 12. Here we see the answer. Neither is there salvation in any other. Acts 4 verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we shall be saved. That's what it says. Do you hear that? There's no other name given. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name, none other name, is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. What's his name? Jesus. That's his name. Listen, the man upstairs won't save you, for there's no other name but the name of Jesus. The name Good Lord won't save you, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name of Buddha won't save you, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name Muhammad won't save you, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name of the Grace Church in New Ross won't save you, for there's no other name given under heaven but the name of Jesus. And so this brings us to the fact that Jesus' name is the supreme name. I look again at our text of Colossians 2 and 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. It's a supreme name. It's a standalone name. It's a name higher in prominence and preeminence and position than any other name. It stands alone. There was a conqueror called Alexander. They called him the Great. There was a king called Herod. They called him the Great. There was an emperor called, or an empress called Catherine, and they called her the Great. And lots of people through history have taken the title the Great. But each of them had dark and shameful elements in their character which made a mockery of the title Great. However, the name of Jesus stands alone in prominence and preeminence and position, because in that name of Jesus there is everything that we need. Everything that we need in this life and in the next life is bound up in the person and the work, the doing and the dying and the rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name. Revelation 1 and verse 8, marvelous scripture. I draw your attention to it where Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Oh, I wish I could pause here. I can't. But don't you let the Jehovah Witnesses baffle you. You go and read this full chapter, chapter 1 of Book of Revelation, and look who claims to be the Almighty. It's Jesus who claims to be the Almighty. Well, let me ask you, how many Almighties are there? Is there more than one Almighty? Well, if there's more than one, he can't be Almighty. No, there's one Almighty by definition, the Almighty. And he says, I'm Alpha and Omega. Now that's the first language, first letter of the Greek alphabet. And it's the last letter. Or he is saying, I am the A and I am the Z. Or for our American folks, the Z. A to Z, A to Z. And so, somebody once said, Jesus is the first and last letter of the alphabet, and he's all the other letters in between. I endorse that. I think that's absolutely right. Did you know the alphabet is a fascinating concept? There are 26 words in our English, or sorry, words, letters in our English alphabet. And if you don't have letters, you can't have words. You know what words are? They're just letters. You put them together in a certain order and you get a word. And if you put enough words together, you get a sentence. And if you put enough sentences together, you get a paragraph. And if you put enough paragraphs together, you get a page. And if you get a page, then you put enough of them together, you get a chapter. And if you get enough chapters together, you get a book. And if you get enough books, you got a library. And if you've got a library, you've got a culture. And it all starts with 26 little letters. And all a book is an arrangement. Every book in the English language is an arrangement of those 26 letters. That's why we start children off by learning their A, B, C's. It's all in the 26 letters, how they're put together. And Jesus is the Alpha. Have you ever considered some of the things he is? He's the Alpha. He's the Adonai. He's the Advocate. He's the Amen. He's the last Adam. He's the Almighty. He's the Author. He's the Finisher of our faith. He is the Babe. This is the B letters. The Babe of Bethlehem. He's the Bridegroom, the Bishop of our souls, the Branch of Righteousness, the Bread of Light, the Bright Morning Star, the Balm of Gilead. He's the C word, the Christ. He's the Creator. He's the Cornerstone, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Chosen One, the Crucified One, the Chief Shepherd of the Sheep. He's the D word. He's the Door, the Day Star, our Delight, our Deliverer, the Desire of the Nations. He is the E word, Emmanuel, the Exalted One. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. He is El Shaddai. He is Jesus, is the first fruits. They say the F word. You want to hear the real F word? He is the first fruits, the fountain of life, the forerunner, the foundation of the church, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he is the friend of sinners. I love that title. Don't you? Oh, yes. And so he is the GDFG. He is God. He's good. He's the governor. He's the guide. He's the good shepherd and the great physician. He is the H word. He's the hope. He's the helper. He's the healer. He's the Holy One. He's the husband of the church and he's the high priest. He is the great I am. He's our inheritance. He is immortal, invisible. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. We sing about it. Oh, yes. Where were we? He's Jehovah. He's the judge. He's our joy. He's our justifier. He is the King. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of kings. He's the King everlasting. He's the King of glory. He's the King of grace. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of Zion. He's the King of peace. He's the keeper of the keys of death and Hades. He is the Lord. Now we're only at L. I'm telling you. He is the A to Z. He is the A to C. He's the Lord. He's the life. He's love. He's the liberator. He's the lawgiver. He's the light of the world. He's the living water. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Does that not make your feet want to dance? He is Messiah. He is the Master. He is the Mediator. He is the Messenger. He is Jesus, the Man of Sorrows. He's the Nazarene. He is the New
wine of the new covenant. He is the name, and He has the name above every name. He is Omega, Omega. He is the offering for our sin. He is the omnipotent one, and He is the only begotten of the Father. He's the P word. He's the prophet. He's the priest. He's our Passover. He is our propitiation. Hallelujah. He is the Prince of Peace. He is Jesus, the pearl of great price. He is the Q word. What's that? He is quick and powerful, the quick and powerful word of God. He is the quieter of the storms of life. He is the R word. Jesus is the Redeemer. He's the refuge. He's the refiner. He's the rose of shine, the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the rock of ages. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Oh yes, He's the R word. He's the Savior. He's the S word. He's the substitute. He's the shepherd. He's the suffering servant. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the stone which the builders rejected. And Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the T word. He's the truth. He's the teacher. He's the testator of the will of the God. He is our tabernacle. He is the unblemished Lamb of God. The U word. The unchanging God. The unction of the Spirit. He is the vine. He is the vicarious sacrifice. He is the victor over death and over the grave. Do you want any more? I mean, this is Jesus. Oh, what a beautiful name He has. Yet this unfolding of the character of Jesus is enough to feed upon for eternity. He is the... Did I say the U word yet? I'm not sure where I was. Was it? I don't know where I was. He is the way. Let's go for the W word. The word made flesh. He is the witness, the water of life. And His name is wonderful. He is the expected that Messiah of the Old Testament and the exalted, that's the X word, exalted Lord of the New Testament, the Y word, He's our yoke fellow. He's yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He's Jesus, and Jesus is Zion's holy King. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a name. What a name Jesus has. But not only is Jesus the supreme name, Jesus is the asking name. Now listen carefully. John 16, 23, 24. And I say, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, that means truly, truly. And by the way, when you see those two words together, it's a double emphasis. He really wants you to get this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, we've got to make a few observations here. Jesus says, pray in my name. Does that mean use that formula, pray in my name? In Jesus' name. Well, I want you to listen to me now. To pray in the name of Jesus is not simply adding a little formula to your prayer to make it work. It's not as if God's listening to the prayer and saying, no, I don't think so. No. Hold on, he said in the name of Jesus. Okay, since you put it that way, okay, I'll answer your prayer. No. Now pray in the name, pray in the character of Jesus. Does that mean it's wrong to say in the name of Jesus? No, I say it all the time. Here's another message, there is great authority in that name. Let me tell you, you're praying against the works of the devil. Pray in Jesus' name, where there's authority in the name of Jesus. Now, this is not part of the sermon, but you know, a policeman knocks at your door, and he thinks there's criminals in there. He knocks and he says, open up in the name of the law. Not in his name, not in the name of the policeman, but in the name of the law. There's authority behind the name. And yeah, you better believe I use and I pray in Jesus' name. And I'm going to tell you why. But I want you to understand.
You don't have to legalistically say, okay, that wasn't a prayer because I didn't say in Jesus' name. If it's prayed according to the character of God and according to His will and His wishes, you're praying in His name. But I still love to say in Jesus' name. Or in Jesus' name I ask you, Lord. You see, now I'm going to tell you why. As we pray in the name of Jesus, we are declaring our dependence upon Jesus Christ for our access to God. Ephesians 3 and verse 12. Ephesians 3 and verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him, or the faith of Him. There's no access to God but through Jesus Christ. John 14 verse 6. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And to come to the Father without faith in Christ, coming in the name of Jesus, without faith in Christ is the one who brings you access. To come to the God in that way, you will find the door shut. Because you have no access. I have no access outside of the finished work of Christ. And so I'm dependent upon Christ for access. And so I have no problem saying, in Jesus' name, I come to you. When we say, in the name of Jesus, we are declaring that we have need of a mediator. And we are also declaring that Jesus is the mediator. Well, why, brother, would you need a mediator? Well, there's no access for a sinful creature into the holiness of God without a mediator. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He, notice the word, will not hear. It doesn't say He can't hear. He will not hear because of your sins. And that's why as a believer, we don't leave long lists of sins unconfessed and unturned away from. No. And we come in Jesus' name. We have a mediator, by the way, not because we're good people, not because we're sinless. It's because we are sinners that we have a mediator. But in the name of Jesus, when you use that, that's making you honest. It's, I need the mediator. And Christ is my mediator. And so, Jesus has satisfied divine justice. He's paid for our sins. And He is therefore the only mediator of redemption. And He is the only mediator of intercession. 1 John 2, 1 says, if anyone sins, he has an advocate. We have. If anyone sins, we have an advocate. That's a lawyer. That's an intercessor with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so when we pray in Jesus' name, we are not only admitting that our access to the Father is through Jesus, but we are admitting bankruptcy in our own name. We're coming before Him having nothing. Our name can't move heaven and earth, but the name of Jesus can move heaven and earth. The Father is not thrilled with your name or with my name. No. He's thrilled with the name of Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And if we go and I say, I go and I pray in the name of Miles McKee, I'm a preacher. I'll get nothing. No. But Christ, as believers, He clothes us with His righteousness. And I'm not afraid to tell that to the Father. I'm not afraid to thank the Father for His righteousness. For the righteousness He's given me is a free gift. I'm not afraid in Jesus' name to say, thank you. You saved me by your grace. And when we pray in His name, we are identifying with Jesus Christ. He's literally given us His name to use. Believers, that is. And when we use His name, we are confessing that He is ours and we are His. And it's like going into the bank of heaven when we go in His name. Look, if we go into the bank of heaven with our own name, imagine what's going to happen. Imagine it. You go into a bank. Let's say there's a bank. We don't have an Ulster Bank here. Okay, let's say you're going into the AIB and you do not have a bank account. Okay, you have no money deposited. And you go in and say, I want to withdraw 1,000.
a thousand euros. Well, they'll look at you like you've got two heads. But let's say you were to meet Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, and Warren Buffett says, here's my card, son. It's got my name on it. Here's my PIN number. Withdraw as much as you want. That's okay. Mr. Buffett's got money all over the world. He's a billionaire. I'm here in the name of Warren Buffett. Here's the card. Here's his checkbook. Same idea. When we go to the bank of heaven, we say, in Jesus' name, I need help. In Jesus' name. I have no currency there, but I have all the currency in the universe in the name of Jesus. I'm praying in the name of Jesus. I'm bringing this to an end here. It's declaring to the Father that we are submitted to His will. Did you know that Jesus' authority was related to His submission to the Father? And so our authority rests in our submission to Him. And to ask in His name is to ask according to His nature. And His nature is one of submission. And if your heart is not to submit to God, you can use the formula all you like. You can say in Jesus' name, but wait a minute. If your heart is not submitted, you're not praying in Jesus' name, even though you use the formula. That's all it is. It's a formula. And it's not a working one if this is not part of you. And that's why prayers contrary to the will of God will never be answered, no matter what way. I pray in Jesus' name. You can't go to God and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you bless my adultery? You can't go to God and say, would you bless my sin in Jesus' name? You can't go to God and say, Lord, bless my bitterness and desire for revenge in Jesus' name. You can't go to God and ask Him, bless my plans for robbery in Jesus' name. You can't do it. But praying in the name of Jesus is a bold declaration that we're submitted to the will of God. So I'm going to leave these thoughts with you. Jesus' name is a simple name. Not hard to memorize. So, so easy to sing about. The name of Jesus is a strong name. It's a name feared by the devil. That's why he tries to get everybody and their granny to use the name of Jesus as a swear word. And the name of Jesus is the saving name. Not a saving name, it's the saving name, for neither is there salvation in any other. No other name given. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Yep, it's the supreme name. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's got so, so many titles. We could do well to meditate upon those and grow in Him. And so praying in His name, the asking name, is not just a little formula. Although I use that phrase in Jesus' name, and I encourage you to do so, we have the privilege of using that name and that statement, we pray in Jesus' name. But always remember, prayer is based upon the character of Christ, and that's the asking in His name. And when we pray in His name, we are praying in accordance to His character, and that is the gospel truth this morning. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about our ministry, go to milesmckee.com. Our church website is thegracechurch.ie. We'd love to hear from you. Miles's email is miles@thegracechurch.ie. If you'd like to support the work we are doing in Ireland and other parts of the world, you can click on the donate link on milesmckee.com. Don't forget to check out more sermons at sermonaudio.com. Until next time, slán agus beannacht libh.